Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello. Welcome back to Wilmington Business Radio. This is Anne Revell-Petcher. I'm your host with my producer, Kirsten Kalski. We have a really fun show today. Boy, we got a nice full studio. We like that. First of all, it's very cool to have a lot of people here in the studio. But we have a bunch of people here who represent businesses and organizations that are impacting life in Wilmington, both for those of us who live here, who work here, and for our visitors. Actually, our first guest that I'm going to introduce today is Kim Huffam. She's the president and CEO of the Wilmington and Beaches Convention and Visitors Bureau. Welcome.
Thank you, Ian.
It's nice to have you here.
Great. I'm excited.
And joining Kim is her Director of Communications and Public Relations, Connie Nelson. Hello, Connie.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Oh, we're excited to hear the stories. We also are going to be hearing in a few minutes from Zach Adams, who is the Assistant Vice President and Bank Manager at First Bank. Welcome, Zach.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, glad to have you. And then we are going to start today actually with Karen Swenson. Karen's with Aflac, and she's an independent agent. And Karen has a really cool story. Say hey, Karen.
Hey.
She did it. She, on command. You can tell that she was in the L.A. kind of land for a while there. She knows a little bit about performance. Tell us about your background, Karen.
Well, I always feel like I was behind the camera for so long, and now I'm in front of it. I moved to L.A. when I was 19 years old and worked there for 35 years in and out of the entertainment industry, working for agents and managers and producers and publicists and production companies. In the last 10 years, I worked for Barbara Streisand at her house.
Yeah, really. She worked for Barbara Streisand at her house. I have sitting next to me Barbara Streisand's, what did you
personal
do for her?
Personal assistant.
Her personal assistant. You kind of managed everything going on
did
in
a little
life.
Bit of everything, you know, from managing, archiving her art and antiques to helping her build a house.
Yeah, pretty interesting time, I bet.
It was great. Learned a lot.
She's a pretty interesting person. She's really nice.
Fascinating.
I hear she's actually very nice.
Very, you know, can be very sweet and generous with her friends. I think, you know, there's always that wall between you and the general public, but, you know, with the friends and the people that she cared about, she was very warm and generous.
So you're out there doing all this really cool stuff with all these spotlights and energy, and you decided to come to Wilmington.
I did. Well, you know how in your life there are always those moments when you think about making a change, and for various financial reasons or whatever, you need that week-to-week paycheck. And,
oh, yeah.
And, you know, or your kids or things like that that you have to worry about. And so I never quite got to that place. And then when I decided to leave Barbara's employment, I just looked around and thought I would like to maybe take that step for, you know, I actually had a little bit of an investment money, you know, that
little
I could,
bit of egg,
little
nest
bit of,
egg there,
little nest egg, you know. And so I decided to travel cross country and check out Wilmington. I'd always kind of been interested in it, and I loved what I saw.
How did you even find out about Wilmington? Was it by any chance film industry?
It was the connection, you know, in terms of it being, you know, a smaller pond,
sure. Right.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, that's what was appealing about it, was getting to be part of a community.
Yeah. So you get here and you decide that you want to join Aflac. That's a very interesting story. Tell us about that.
Well, it wasn't right away. I built a house in Sunset Park first.
Nice.
You know. And,
love Sunset Park.
You know, I mean, I enjoyed, a nice little leisurely lifestyle for a couple of years, just kind of living a little off that nest egg. And then I decided once the house was built that I needed to get serious again about, you know, some regular work. And the opportunity to work with Aflac opened up. And I went from thinking it wasn't the kind of thing I do,
right.
You know, the sales thing,
yeah.
Again, being in front of the camera, to kind of talking myself into it when I was trying to talk somebody else into sharing the experience with me.
Oh.
And I realized that I had given myself all kinds of reasons why I should do it.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, tell us just a little bit about Aflac. I think most people know the dot. They don't Aflac. Right. But outside of that, what do they know about Aflac?
That's about what they know. They know the duck on commercials, but I think they haven't really made the connection about what it is. And basically, my job is to go out there and show employers how supplemental or voluntary insurance is an important part of their benefits package. Hmm. You have your major medical, you have your workers' comp, and you should also offer supplementary because, you know, the Affordable Care Act major medical doesn't protect your income. And that's what Aflac is designed to do, is to help people make sure that they have cash directly when they're sick or injured.
Okay. So it is essentially like healthcare insurance, but it's not for paying doctors. It's for paying yourself.
Right. Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
It is. I mean, it's a whole educational experience getting into something and really kind of exploring what it means to people. I had a client who is 36 years old and had a stroke.
Oh, goodness.
Lost her job as a result because they figured she wasn't going to be back. She was severely, disabled by the stroke. And,
right.
Who knows when she's going to be ready to go back to work. She was in tears because she forgot she had Aflac, and she got a check in the mail, and she was able to pay her rent.
Oh, wow.
So those kind of things really kind of make you realize what you're doing is a lot more important than people give it credit for.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of, we have several very large employers here in the region. So I would assume that if I went to a PPD or a Corning or a GE or the university, that something like Aflac might be an option for me. But is it really mostly is there any chance that a small business like us could ever afford an Aflac?
Aflac is absolutely designed for, we can make a group out of three people.
Oh, really?
So, and we can offer pre-tax benefits where the business actually saves money, not by spending money, but by offering the Aflac to their employees. The employees pay for it, but they save on tax matching, basically, FICA matching.
How do you come up with the amount that it costs to get Aflac insurance?
It depends on what they're looking at.
Okay.
If you're looking at an insurance plan, accident plan.
Okay.
Accident plans aren't age banded. The cancer plan isn't age banded.
Okay.
The hospital plan might be.
I see.
Disability plan is based on income, how long they want to be insured for, 3 months, 6 months, and if they care about doing like first day of an injury, seventh day of an illness. 15th
day. Wow, so there's a lot of flexibility.
There's flexibility there. Yeah, you can kind of fine-tune it to what your needs and concerns are. You know, if you have cancer in the family, if you have heart disease in the family, you can look at the individual things that matter to you most, that you would be most devastated by if you had a traumatic event.
Wow, that's really interesting. So tell us again some of the things that you offer. So you offer
Accident.
And what does that mean? Essentially any accident or car accident?
24/7 on or off the job. It could be cutting a finger. It could be breaking a leg. It could be in a car accident. We have the cancer plan that the company started. Three brothers back in the 50s lost their father to cancer.
Huh.
And they saw the devastating cost of it. That they were able to take care of it, but they saw what that would mean to other families. And they started the company based on wanting to provide that for people around the country.
Wow.
So that we have the best cancer plan in the world, I think. You know, the average payout is between $45,000 and $75,000 when people have to use it.
Wow.
We have a hospital plan, which has the new hospital plan has a guaranteed issue, no health questions option.
Hmm.
We have a dental and vision, of course, disability. And the critical care plan that covers heart attacks, strokes, that kind of thing.
Okay. Is the disability, a lot of people are talking about, you really should have disability insurance. I keep hearing that discussion a lot, and maybe it's because I'm no longer 20. But is your disability program a pretty traditional disability program? How does that work?
It's basically, you can do it anywhere between 3 months and 2 years.
Okay.
If somebody is seriously disabled, within 18 months or so, I hope that you would be looking at maybe applying for Social Security disability.
So, sure.
So it covers a long enough period to get you through it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, disability by law can only cover a certain percentage of your income.
Okay.
So, for instance, if somebody makes $20,000 a year, we can pay $1,000 a month to them. That's tax-free.
Wow. Wow. That's fabulous. That's great. So how would someone get in touch with you if they wanted to know a little bit more about this?
Well, they can reach me at my Aflac email is Karen_Swenson, S-W-E-N-S-O-N, at us.aflac.com.
Great.
Or my phone number is 910-632-0035.
Great. Super. And we can certainly see you around town. Karen is at a lot of events all the time. She's a really good networker. So we will definitely be in touch with you. I'm going to turn the table here just a little bit and talk to Zach. Zach Adams, again, is the bank manager for First Bank, and he manages the downtown and Porter's Neck branches. Is that right?
That is correct.
I got it right?
That's what I do.
Tell us, for those of us who don't know First Bank, obviously whenever we drive downtown, we see your sign, but tell us a little bit about what First Bank is.
Well, we're a North Carolina-based community bank.
Oh, and headquartered in North Carolina.
Correct, yes. Our headquarters is Southern Pines.
Oh, cool.
And we've been around about 79 years, and we've got 95 locations, primarily in and around small towns all out throughout North Carolina, but also Southern Virginia and Northern South Carolina.
Wow.
We've got 5 locations here in Wilmington. The two you mentioned that I manage, the downtown office and the one out in Porter's Neck. We've also got one... We call it the Landfall office
at
the corner of Eastwood and Military Cutoff.
Okay.
We have the one on Oleander across from Independence Mall.
Okay.
And we've got another one in Monkey Junction
near
Chick-fil-A and the new Osteria Chiquetti. And then we're across the bridge in Leland and down in Southport, Ocean Isle Beach.
Wow, you really are everywhere.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
So community banking is really hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's talking about community banks because people look for a differentiation.
Sure.
How is a community bank different from, you know, the big, what I call the Charlotte banks?
that's a good title for them. I would say... not just banking, but any national corporation or national company, whether it be consumer, banking, financial industry, whatever, everyone's had a situation where they have to call a 1-800 number and they have to get transferred 5 different times to just get a simple answer. Or
everyone's shaking their heads in the room. It's really pretty funny.
or they don't know who to call. They're with XYZ company because they just always have been with XYZ company and they don't have a point of contact.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing about a community bank and First Bank in general, and I guess to even get more specific, me, you have a local banker who's in the market that you're in, who is available to you, whether it be, you know, for banking related situations. I have a lot of clients. As a matter of fact, right before I came over here, I was speaking with a client just about their general business. They were using me as a sounding board and just having a conversation with me on a local level with someone you know, instead of having to call a 1-800 number.
Yeah, sometimes you can get things fixed better when there's an error, when you actually know the person who's on the other end of the phone.
Correct. Yeah, when you have a face to a name and you know exactly who to get a hold of, you don't have to make those additional calls. You contact me and I know
and
who to reach out to. And then you go about, you know, I deal primarily with business owners. Well, everyone knows that running a small business is not just a job. It's your life.
It's your life.
So you'd rather not take time out of your day to... deal with a banking issue or any type of issue. It's nice to have a point of contact that can handle that for you.
It's as painful as tech support, right? It's
exactly. So you get to me and I figure out the situation and then we get it fixed for you and get back to you hopefully a few hours later and let you know it's been resolved.
Wow. That kind of service is really important to a lot of people. I know my poor daughter recently went through a situation. She still hasn't moved from that really huge bank. And they just out of the blue charged her $1,500 one day for something for a rent payment that she would have made 4 years ago when she still lived in that apartment. But somehow, just randomly, she got billed $1,500 just
Surprise.
Randomly. And she was on the phone for 2 days. Big bank kept saying, I don't know. I don't know why that happened. She's like, would you just fix it and make sure it never happens again. But it took 2 full days of her being on the phone. So having someone like you to go to, Zach, would be huge.
Yeah, that's, you know, First Bank, we're a community bank, and like I mentioned, relationships is what we're based on. So,
Right. So
my clients know me, they know my staff at both of my locations. I mean, that's what you get when you come into a community bank. We have primarily the same employees in each office for long periods of time. They get to know you, they get to know your business or your dog's name, how your grandkids are doing, and you have those conversations because it's personal. And I really, you know, equate it to how banking used to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, back in It's a Wonderful Life times,
yeah, 1950s,
40s, you knew your banker, you knew your bank people, and that's who you went and saw. And, it's, you know, come around that, you know, it's a lot of 1-800 numbers and not face-to-face service. And
Right. We
still offer that. So I think there's an extreme value in that customer service and that relationship building.
So Zach, you guys offer both what I would call retail banking and also corporate banking.
Absolutely.
So I can walk in there and just have all my personal accounts.
Correct.
And I can have a small business account.
Correct.
What if you have multiple businesses? Not a problem?
Not a problem.
And how big do you get before no longer are you the appropriate bank to do my business banking?
Well,
Microsoft?
Yeah, we'd certainly try to work with you if you're a Microsoft.
Well, if Microsoft wanted to move to Wilmington, yeah, we would help facilitate that.
I think everyone would be interested in that.
Yeah.
Specifically for the Wilmington
area.
We'll
give Bill a call and see what he thinks.
I wouldn't necessarily say we have a limit. We try to find a package of services that meet any size business, whether it be on the banking side with online banking, debit cards that earn rewards, your simple
checkbook.
You have
mobile banking?
We have mobile banking.
Oh, good.
We've got an app for your iPhone or your Android device.
Excellent.
We've got a lovely online site, localfirstbank.com. You know, all the standard things that people have become to expect from banking.
Yeah.
We offer all those things. And the good news is we still offer that personal service
Sure. Along
with them. So I would never put a cap on who we would want to deal with, but
good. Well, I think you gave us a pretty strong answer to that. But how do you, there's a lot of businesses here. There's a lot of people here.
Sure.
How do you get a chance to talk to them, to tell them about you? How do you open those doors to new business?
Well, I've found in my time in Wilmington that Wilmington is a very large networking town.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And I'm sure
Karen Swenson can tell you that.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of you have experienced that as well. And there's always an opportunity in and around Wilmington, whether it be with a chamber event or any of our local networking groups, BNI, things like that,
mm-hmm.
to meet other local business owners and other people in the community that are involved in these sort of things and just have a conversation with them and see if there's a way you can connect and you know, help them out. And sometimes, you know, you're connecting other people that you've met and it kind of have a holistic approach to helping business owners grow their business.
Sure. When I think of a bank and savings these days, I think about the savings account that have, what is it, a 0% interest rate right now, I think?
you get a little bit of interest. So
okay,
it's not
the 0.005 percentages, right? Do community banks have other solutions besides that 0.005% savings?
Yeah, you know, we've got obviously savings accounts just like everybody else does and money market accounts.
Okay,
that are, you know, serve a different purpose. But we also have a whole wealth management arm where depending on what you're trying to do, we've got local advisors. Again, just like myself with the business banking and the consumer banking, we've got a local wealth management guy who, you know, certainly knowledgeable in the field and has a conversation with you to see where you're at, where you're trying to go and how you can get there. And that's a service we provide. So I would say in this day and age with, like, as you mentioned, with the lower interest rates on savings products, there's a lot more different products that are out there that you really need to talk to someone as an expert in the field to figure out the best thing for your needs.
Yeah. You know, Wilmington's business climate, I feel that there's a big change coming in Wilmington business climate. I think that there's a lot of really good stuff going on here, and it's only getting better. Now, I say that because I really want it to get better, but, you know, positive thinking, right?
Sure.
But we're all out there really stirring it up a lot. I think that we're starting to see a lot of moves. What do you see?
Well, I'll say, you know, there's a couple indicators that we have. Obviously, lending requests from different markets within the Wilmington area,
okay,
whether it be builders or commercial lending, things like that. When you see more requests and more activity, That's generally a good indicator of an upswing. And then we're doing things as a bank to kind of tie along with that. We've got a couple new magazines that we have coming out for. We have one called Homestead that ties into the real estate community, teaches people about a mortgage process, about what's going on with lending. So that's something that we do because we see that activity going on. And then we do another one called Storefront that's for small business owners, just information about different small business things
that
they
might do. This is a magazine in print?
Yes, it's a print
like
magazine.
Like you pick up and hold in your hands?
Yeah, and also how retro, right?
Right,
but
that's
we also,
so cool.
Of course, have it online and downloadable. But it's just, you know, other things that we're doing because we see this activity happening just to, again, differentiate ourselves and back to that whole relationship.
No, it's cool. I mean, I think retro works. Look, I opened a radio station.
Yeah.
Right? So you deal with entrepreneurs on a regular basis?
I do, yes.
What kind of insights do you have for us on the world of entrepreneurship here?
I find that Wilmington is again, as it's a networking town, it's probably a networking town because it's a very entrepreneurial town.
Ah.
A lot of people either relocate here and want
to... Karen. Yeah. So you're just so indicative of everything we're talking about.
It's perfect. That's what makes Wilmington special. But, you know, they come to town and they've got a great idea and then they figure out the market and see, you know, how they can fit in the market. Obviously, we didn't have a business radio station when you came to town. So
there you go.
And you found your niche and now you're exploring it. So I see that a lot in Wilmington with, you know, with different genres of business and different aspects. So it's very exciting for me as someone who deals with business owners on a big part of my day to talk to them and find out where they are, where they want to be, how they think they're going to get there.
Any hints?
Different ways.
Got any hints for us?
Well, back to networking and just knowing your market and knowing the folks in Wilmington and figuring out how you can just really nail down, what you're going to do and how you're going to do it to make yourself a little bit different than everybody else.
Cool. So how would someone find you?
You can't.
Oh, invisibility.
I'm
He's
invisible.
Got an invisible cloak. Harry Potter left his cloak with
him. What happens is if you go to the downtown office to look for me, I'll be in Porter's Neck.
Of course.
But if you go to Porter's Neck, I'll be downtown.
Okay.
So, no, you can email me. My email address is zadams, A-D-A-M-S, @localfirstbank.com. And my direct line, I'll give you the downtown office direct line, is 910-442-4102.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
And now, because it's right before Memorial Day weekend, we're going to talk about some beaches. Welcome to the show, you guys.
Thank you.
It's so great to have the, I always want to call it the Convention and Visitors Bureau, but that's not what you call it here. You call it the, let's do it right, the Wilmington and Beaches Convention and Visitors Bureau. Tell us a little bit about the organization.
Well, we're the destination marketing organization for all of New Hanover County. We cover Wilmington, the city of Wilmington, as well as our three beautiful beach communities of Carolina, Curie, and Wrightsville Beach.
Okay.
And it's our job to bring people in, spend money, and for them to go back home.
Excellent. Well, do you also play a role in economic development?
Very much so. Tourism is big business in New Hanover County.
It certainly is. Yeah.
A lot of money brought in, you know, and what we do is by generating the economic development, the small businesses, as well as some of our businesses that, you know, take part in tourism or larger businesses as well. But by that, they're bringing in new dollars in our community that would not be here unless the visitors came in.
Absolutely. And that's probably a pretty sizable amount of money.
Yeah. Our latest figures were in 2012. We're waiting on our 2013 numbers. But in 2012, over $460 million were brought into New Hanover County through the tourism industry.
That's great. So what kinds of things do you promote?
Well, we promote our beautiful historic riverfront, all of the wonderful attractions we have here, shopping, of course, our 31 miles of beautiful beaches. We have over 50 attractions in the area.
You sound like you've got
entertainment.
This down.
Oh, yeah.
You got
you
these
know,
numbers down.
You can tell I'm a marketer. You know, I do this, you know, we do this daily. So, but we just have so much to offer. And, you know, as I think, you know, our other guests have alluded to, you know, we really are different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wilmington is just a very unique location with having the city, beautiful historic riverfront city, as well as having our, you know, three beautiful beaches as well. And there's not a lot of communities, even along the entire East Coast, that has what we have.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, and you're, you know, a unique person to tell that story too. I mean, recently you won, well, in 2012, the North Carolina Travel Industry Association Bill Sharp Public Service Award because of what you've done for North Carolina travel and tourism.
Well, I've been in the industry for over 25 years now, and, you know, I just kind of stumbled into it. It was never my major, my goal in life was to be in accounting.
Oh,
so
really?
I started out on the business side and then totally turned around, got into tourism, and just, it's in your blood. It's one of
sure.
those things. And again, what better place could we have to promote than
yeah.
our area right here?
There must be a huge percentage of, I mean, compared to other cities, a huge percentage of businesses that serve tourists here.
There are. Tourism here in New Hanover County employs over 5,360 people annually. And that, again, that was in 2012.
Wow.
So I'm sure we'll see those numbers grow. And it was one of the, New Hanover County was the second fastest in percentage growth in new employment in tourism in 2012. So
oh, wow.
we do make an impact. It makes a difference here in New Hanover County.
Absolutely. You spend a lot of time promoting the region. Do you also, you have a cute little storefront kind of place, don't you?
Yes, we do. We have we actually operate four visitor centers.
Four?
Yeah, we have four that we operate, three of them during season. We operate the Riverfront booth down at the foot of Market Street.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then we also have one over on Pleasure Island that services Carolina and Curie Beach. And we also have one over at Wrightsville Beach in their chamber building. And then we have our permanent location, which is down in the Railroad Museum coastline area.
So cute. Now, if I were to walk in there today, what would I see? Is it like going to one of the rest stops where you have different like brochures from different hotels and the like, or?
Well, we do. We have brochures from all the area attractions, hotels, restaurants. But more importantly, we have live staff when you walk
Ooh.
In, you know. And during this time of year, we have two ladies that are there and also two down at our riverfront area, our busier two centers that we have.
Sure.
But they're to assist. I mean, we do have the brochures and that types of things that visitors can pick up. But more importantly, and kind of to Zach's point, we want personal, you know, we want that personal touch. We want to be able to assist the visitors and be there for them as they come in.
That's great. So how do you promote the region? I'm looking over at Connie. I'm like, Connie, how do you promote the region? She's like, oh.
Well, we do it in a variety of ways. As Kim mentioned, we are a destination marketing organization.
Mm-hmm.
And this day and age, you have to reach people wherever they are. And right now, they're on the internet. They're on mobile devices. They are, you know, engaged in social media. So we do all that in addition to our printed pieces, as well as, you know, your traditional advertising. But more and more, that's shifting from print to online as
sure.
the trends change. So we're
just
always,
like radio.
Exactly, exactly. So we're constantly monitoring the travel trends and the industry trends.
That's interesting. So what kinds of travel trends are you seeing?
Well, we're seeing several different ones. Connie and I were actually discussing this as we came over. And, you know, we're looking at people are now doing shorter travel planning. Again, we think that's a result is, you know, the availability of information. You know, you can get on the internet. You can see what's available. You can make a decision a lot faster. We're seeing a lot of shorter stays. You know, used to kind of the traditional vacation was your week long.
Right.
Now we're seeing more, you know, 3 to 4 days, long weekends, you know, and people will do several trips a year versus doing just one long week long vacation. We still have that traditional, but we're seeing a shift in that as well. And we're also seeing a big shift in our market. You know, we're now looking more at the millennials. The baby boomers are still here and it's an important market for us, but we're having to adjust how we market and how we promote because our market is changing and the
yeah.
millennials want to be more active, more, you know, experiences and, you know, hands-on, those types of things, which fortunately we have lots of that to offer in our area.
Yeah, we had someone on the station, I think back several months ago, Waterplay USA, born and bred here, mm-hmm. and the whole goal is to get people out on the water
right.
and connecting with other businesses on the water. So very cool that we have that here. So talk to me about your social media. You have I got a button. When they walked in the door, I got this button that says, why do you love Wilmington and our beaches? And there is a hashtag, and it's hashtag spread the Wilm, WILM. What is that all about?
Okay. The Spread the Wilm community-wide marketing initiative was inspired by a national trend that we were seeing where the number one reason people were traveling to visit was to visit family and friends. So we wanted to come up with a marketing campaign where we could really target our local residents as well as our visitors. So what we're doing is trying to promote this, not only, as we said, you know, our biggest job is to promote outside, bring people in, but we want to educate our locals about all there is to see and do here in Wilmington, and then invite them to share those experiences by hashtagging Spread the Wilm and, you know, posting their videos and their pictures and their favorite spots and those types of things, and encourage their family and friends to come and visit.
Oh, I love that. We're going to use that this afternoon when we go celebrate our interns down at the waterfront. So that's really exciting. And tell us again how you want people to use it. This is really more for the residents. Not for the residents. Anybody can do it, of course. But you want the residents, every time they enjoy doing something in Wilmington, you want them to go out and tweet it.
That's right. We're finding out that social media is so vital to all marketing efforts that we do now. Again, going back to the millennials and how they communicate and that type of thing. We found out that in some of the studies that we've seen nationally that, you know, social media and posting your videos and photos is the one of the number one activities people do.
Absolutely.
During their vacations as well as when they come back. And so what we're doing is encouraging everyone to do that, whether it's through us wearing our buttons and encouraging our local merchants to post our stickers and, you know, wear the buttons and ask people, you know, as we said on the thing, why do you love, and start the conversation. And then when they do, encourage them to hashtag any of their photos, videos, or whatever at Spread the Wilm. We also have a website set up specifically for this, and it's spreadthewilm.com.
Great.
And you can go there. And on that, it gives you all the information, including a video, a stunt video that we've done.
Yeah.
Well, it's not actually stunts, but it's more of a fun, comical type take on, you know, what we as residents see as Wilmington. So we encourage people to watch that. And again, it just makes them think about what really is here. And hey, wow, we do have a lot to offer. And again, all that information is on that website. It walks all the way through from the video to the contest that we're having for locals. We draw weekly.
Wow.
And, you know, have some contests and giveaway through that. And again, encouraging them to hashtag Spread the Wilm.
Love it. That's great. So how do people find you? Tell us how they get more information about Wilmington. I'm going to always say this wrong. Wilmington and Beaches Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Okay. Well, they can always visit our website, and it has all the information on it. And our website is wilmingtonandbeaches.com.
Okay.
Again, for more information on Spread the Wilm, they can go to spreadthewilm.com. They can reach us by phone at 910-341-4030. Or they can, email info@wilmingtonandbeaches.com.
Excellent. And your Twitter handle?
At Wilmington Coast.
At Wilmington Coast. I always have trouble figuring out what Wilmington to use for when I'm trying to connect with people. So that's great. Thank you very much. Now, everybody, I just want to thank you all for taking time right before the holiday to come in and chat with us and help business in this region grow. I appreciate the tourism approach. I appreciate the banking and access approach, and I appreciate the security approach that you're bringing to it, Karen. Thank you all.
Thank you.
And until next time, this is Anne Ravel-Petcher for Wilmington Business Radio.